Blog Talk Radio.
Show's on.
I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy. Because I'm here live.
Candid Frank Live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Candid Frank Live.
We gonna set this up right or what? It's Friday night. We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Never eat a pig.
Yeah, baby, we're jumping now. It's just four more days, exactly, actually, 4 days from now. We'll be discussing why the Grey Cup was won by whom. That is correct. It is 10 o'clock now, Eastern Standard Time, and by this time in 4 days, Sunday night, we'll all be either very happy or very sad. And, of course, that sadness will be by disappointment. Well, today we've got a really interesting show. We've got a guest on who played in the CFL, played for the Toronto Argonauts, in fact, B.J. Hall, wore number 6 for the Argos, the same jersey that I think Marcus Ball took over immediately after. He was here in 2011. And we'll get him and get his perspective on making it to the CFL, the transition from college and the difference maybe between, indoor football as opposed to outdoor football, Canadian football, U.S. football, all that wonderful stuff. And, of course, I'm assuming we'll have the usual suspects. I just have to say the John Granger fan club will not be as thrilled tonight because John won't be with us because Jason, his wife's godson, is rapping tonight downtown Toronto. So we wish them luck. Jason actually... he's one of the Argo lifers as well. So let's talk about the football that exists. Enough about what didn't exist. Let's talk about what's going on this week. Well, everybody talks about the storylines that are going on in the CFL, and there couldn't be anything more truthful than that. When you consider the Hamilton Tiger-Cat GM and coach, Ken Austin, he was with Saskatchewan as a quarterback from 87 to 93, and a head coach in GM, and he won the Grey Cup in 2007 and in 1989. And both those games were on the road, so he's looking forward to winning it in Saskatchewan. I bet he is, right? Well, the first Grey Cup game I went to, in fact, was the 1989 Grey Cup. That's when I did a show called Rogers Sports Week on Rogers, and I was a guest of the CFL in the press box. And that Ridgeway field goal was coming right at me. The press box was in the end zone, and that winning field goal, yep, came right at me. And that was an incredible game, which happened to be between these same two teams. One in a last-second field goal by the Saskatchewan Roughriders, Dave Ridgeway. So we have that as part of it. We have the fact that, as I mentioned, Kent Austin, he played in Saskatchewan and won a Grey Cup. He coached there. He won a Grey Cup. So he's looking for his third Grey Cup, as is Ricky Foley. Now, Ricky Foley will be doing it with three different teams. He won, and not only three different teams. But imagine this. This is the part I really like. In consecutive years, he won it in BC as the home player, won it in Toronto last year as a home player, and if he wins it this year, he'll have done it three times at home with his team. Now, how do you like that? I mean, that's a record that I don't think anybody's going to break. At least, I'm not really sure it'll happen. But then again, it just may. So we've got people calling in and leaving as quickly as they get in. Have some patience, guys. We'll run through a few things here and then move on to the phone calls. As I said, you've got Ken Austin. You've got Hamilton Tiger Cat quarterback Henry Burris, who played in Saskatchewan from 2000 to 2004. And, you know, he left basically being given the bum's rush. Saskatchewan fans, and I don't know whether they'll admit it today, they weren't really happy with him, and, you know, he left to come to Hamilton. He's only been in Hamilton for 2 years, and now he brings his new team, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, to Hamilton for the Grey Cup. You know, he was also in Calgary as well, so, you know, he has a lot of, you know, storylines on his own. He could have had one regardless of who came from the West. We also have slotback Hamilton, Andy Fantuz, and he played in Saskatchewan from 2006 to 2011. And I misspoke there. Burris was back there in 2004. Fantuz has only been gone from the team for 2 years. Now, he's a guy who left, and I don't think any Saskatchewan fans wanted him to go, but he wanted to live close to home. So he has a, you know, he's going back home again, if you will, at least to a team that he played for. So that should be really interesting. In fact, he was heard to say, "I'm really excited to be back here. This city's done so much for me, and it's been a big part of my life. Now I want to ruin yours." That last part was mine, by winning. Yeah, he's excited. He says, "I'm excited to go against them. I always cheer for them, being the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, when we're not playing them. But this week is going to be a little bit different, so I hope everyone plays well and stays healthy, but we're here to win." Another player that played for Saskatchewan is Luca Congi, the Ticat kicker. Now, he was back there in 2006. Now, I think even Saskatchewan fans will admit that kickers don't exactly have a fun life in Saskatchewan. There have been some, you know, rough situations for kickers. Well, McCallum now is in BC. We all remember what happened there. So, you know, that's another connection. And, of course, he plays for Hamilton. And then there's head coach Corey Chamblin, who happened to be the defensive coordinator with the coach who now is the offensive coordinator in Saskatchewan, Cortez, George Cortez, that was in Hamilton. Now, Chamblin doesn't really have any, you know, investment other than that in this game and as far as Old Home Week. But I think it's fair to say that George Cortez has a rather, let's say, less than memorable experience in Hamilton. In my opinion, on the outside, it appeared to me that, you know, he basically got run out on his rails. And, you know, he got the bums rush too. So, you know, there's that. And as I said, we have a guest, former CFL player, Toronto Argonaut, B.J. Hall. He'll be talking to us. He's in Tampa, and he went to Weber International, and he scored his first TD against Calgary in Toronto in 2011. And, well, like I said, we'll talk to him. And then the next thing that I'd like to also mention is that back there in the day, I was in my second wedding anniversary when I went to that game that Saskatchewan won in 1989 over Hamilton. And it was easy at that time to root for Saskatchewan, as much as Hamilton fans will hate me. After all, his name's Austin, and my wife's maiden name is Austin. So it was very difficult for me early in the marriage, you know, 2 years in, to not, you know, side with this quasi-family member. Now, this year it's a little easier. After 26 years married, I don't feel so loyal to the name as much as I did back in the day. So now I'm not too sure. It kind of works the wrong... That's okay. There's only 8-10 people listening, so your parents won't hear. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Regardless, it's a game, and it'll be a fun game. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that on both sides of the equation, both Hamilton and Saskatchewan, two of the best sets of fans that the CFL has to offer. And if you are from out of town and you've never experienced a football game, if you go to Hamilton next year especially, because it's going to be really exciting with the new stadium, or you go to Saskatchewan, and this I'm saying as an Argo fan, and this is not a put-down of Argo fans, and I think they know I'm not putting them down. They know me well enough. But one has to tell the truth, and that's what we like to do on this show. And we like to share opinions. So basically, truthfully, those are two of the best stadiums that you could go check out a CFL game for the first time. Now, we might have some people that call in and dispute that, like Edmonton fans, you know, BC fans, whomever decides to pipe in. Now, I'd also like to make an honorable mention, because after Sunday, and this is important to a lot of people that love the Canadian Football League, and especially those in the Ottawa area that can't wait for their team to get started up again. Regardless of whether you like the name Red Blacks or not, irrelevant. In 222 days, there will be a kickoff that the Red Blacks are involved in. I believe it'll be at home. So, as of Sunday night, immediately after the game, 4 days from now, there will be 9 teams in the same position where they'll all have the equal chance to win the Grey Cup. The difference being that the chemistry of 8 teams is going to be disassembled for the most part and reassembled on the Ottawa Red Black roster. And they won't exactly have the chemistry either. So next year is going to be an interesting season because, again, and this time it'll be 9 teams that'll be in the same position as Hamilton was this year. Nobody really knew what was going to happen. There was a lot of work in front of them. The team chemistry was at, you know, less than 100%. So everybody's going to start from the same point, and it's going to be awesome. So now, listen, guys, I want you to remember this as well, that if you're listening, please feel free to text me in Facebook, and I will call you so you can make your contribution to the program. The number that you call here is 714-242-5250. That's a Los Angeles number, 714-242-5250. Now, the phone number is in Los Angeles. The network is in New Jersey. Don't ask me why. It just works that way. So we've got one caller right now, and we'll have them introduce themselves. And who are we talking to?
Hey, it's Christopher.
Hey, Chris, how you doing? A bunch of guys are calling, and their numbers are going up and coming down again. So, and I understand some people have had difficulty getting through. I don't ignore any phone calls, and I don't ignore any opinions. And as you know, Christopher, I accept any opinion. I just don't have to agree with it.
Nope.
None of us do, right? But let me say this.
Nope.
Please, don't be afraid to call me if you disagree with anybody on the show, especially me, because you get to have your say. It just doesn't mean I'm going to agree with you. I don't believe in this stuff where, you know, I don't have people on that I don't to whom I don't agree with. That is just silly. So, yeah, Christopher, you didn't get much chance to get a word in edgewise at the last show. Is there anything in summation or anything you want to start with that you didn't get a chance to say on our last show?
No, that was past. I don't know what happened in the last show. It's over with, except for the fact that you went on to a 52-minute rant on something that Meance did not say in that show. Let's not go there.
No, I didn't. Apparently someone else did, but I didn't. Again, all I'll say on that score is that it wasn't a one-time comment, and he'll admit it to him. He'll admit it as well, even he himself. Right, Meance?
Yes, sir.
There you go. But anyway, that was yesterday. That was or day before yesterday. Now we're here today, and there really are a lot of storylines. Any of the storylines, Christopher, that are your favorite?
Ricky Foley is really interesting. I did not know that it was 3 consecutive years at 3 different teams. That's totally amazing.
Isn't it?
It is. It's totally amazing. And I don't think that'll ever get done again. That would be a tough one to pull.
It wasn't three different teams in three consecutive years.
Wasn't it in BC?
No. He was in Toronto basically from 2010 through. He was in BC, I believe, for the 2006 Grey Cup.
Oh, okay, my bad.
That's what I thought.
Okay, my bad. My mistake. But still, three different teams is quite a feat. If he does it.
Yeah. Oh, we all know that he's going to do it. I mean, come on.
I got a couple
don't
friends.
Don't tell me you guys are wavering on this idea that Hamilton might actually pull off the upset.
Okay. Well, first of all, any team can win on any given day, and that is there is no axiom that is more accurate than that one. I have seen overbearing favorites bite the dust. In my time, I'm old enough to remember a lot of championships that were not won by the team that was supposed to. I know, Christopher, would you agree with that statement, or are you on his side, where it's a fait accompli and it's going to happen?
No. I'm with you. My favorite going into a game and just meltdown. So, yeah, no. Any given day, anything can happen.
You know, momentum can be an important factor, an unlucky break. I mean, how unlucky, and not to drag in a team that's not in the Grey Cup, how unlucky a break is it that the Argos Cackert gets hurt after a bye week that he rested in the first practice back? You know, bad luck can really smile on you in a hurry. You really, there is no avoiding it if it's going to happen.
Oh, shit happens.
And it happens all the time. But, you know, to your point, though, Manasseh, if everything goes the way it should, absolutely, Saskatchewan's the favorite. I won't disagree with that theory, that they are the favorite. I'm just saying there's no guarantee. And they are a favorite by a long shot, which in my mind makes it even easier for Hamilton to win. That's why I think Hamilton has a good chance, because I think most people feel that really – they might as well not even play the game. Just give the trophy to Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm. I think because, you know, we saw the last 2 years, whether it was BC or Toronto, that playing at home at the Grey Cup, I think it just does so much for the home team that it just gives too much of an edge, honestly. Like, remember the Argos last year against Calgary, playing at home in front of that huge home crowd. I mean, the guys played so over their heads. They made Calgary look like a high school football team.
Yeah, I don't know if that's fair. I mean, they did jump to a lead, and they were able to maintain it. But they also jumped to a lead this past week against Hamilton in the same place. I guess it's fair to say also not with the same kind of fan division, if you will. But still, you know, anything can happen. I really believe that the key is going to be, will they have an answer for... Well, you know, Burris looks like he's willing to run. Now, can he run like that, guys, in the winter climbs that he's going to be in, do you think?
I think he will, just because there's so much on the line. And at this point, it's the last game of the year. You know, you just lay it all out there, I think, you know.
The Argos had no answer for him. Will the same be true of Saskatchewan?
No, because the Riders have a better defense.
And a better plan for confining him.
Yeah, plus they have the, you know, the home crowd on their edge, and so it's they have a lot more factors playing in their favor to stop him.
Okay, let me bring the next caller in. Hello? Is it Mike? Oh, I got to turn his mic on. There you go.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Good. Yeah, it is Mike. Okay.
Yep. What's going on, y'all?
What's going on, man?
At 10:30, I'm going to call BJ Hall, and we're going to bring a football player into this conversation. And we're going to take a little bit of a we're going to take a little sideways scamper and talk about playing in the CFL. What's the transition like from going from college American football to Canadian football, indoor football? We'll talk a little bit about. I'm interested in hearing how different and how much of a transition it is. He's recovering from an injury. He had a back problem. I think one of his spinal discs was dislocated or something, and it took a long time for him to get back. And I think he's hoping to get back into the CFL at some point. So now, Mike, anything that you heard that you want to expand upon?
Yeah, I was listening to the comments, and like Manasseh said, Saskatchewan has a better D. But, you know, you got to understand, too, Ken Austin also has an offensive game plan that can counteract that defensive game plan. And if Burns has a good game, and like I said last show, if that offense can click and C.J. Gable, Sherron Walker, whether they use two running backs or how many, if they can wear down that defense in the fourth quarter, Hamilton can win the Grey Cup.
Now, but you also agree that really, all things being equal, the favorite is Saskatchewan.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Saskatchewan is the favorite.
And Hamilton, if they win, they'll do it from the underdog position.
Yep, correct.
Which is not debating
that one.
Okay, no, I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sure that if Bruce calls, we might hear a different story. Even Rob J. Emery, if he calls, we might hear a different story. And you know, I mean, admittedly, sometimes people, because they're a fan of a team, right? They might, put a little more stock in their ability to win, which is not unusual, right?
Right. But you know what, Frank?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Chris. If Hamilton comes out blazing, moving the ball well, and the Rough Riders happen not to be moving the ball well, and they just playing lousy, like you said, the underdogs could probably come out and win the Grey Cup. It depends on how Saskatchewan moves the ball. It depends on how they move the ball, if their offense is clicking. Because from what I've been reading, Hamilton been practicing in the cold all week, so they're trying to adjust to this cold weather. So we don't know how they're going to adjust to it during game time. They might adjust well, practicing in it all week.
Yeah.
And it will make a difference. There is a familiarity that the East and the West at this time of year, the temperatures are very different. We have more of a, and I think Christopher said it on the last show, we have more of a dampness like BC does as opposed to the prairies, and it's cold, you know, cold and dry, if I can say that.
Okay.
So, okay. So now we start with talking about, you know, the teams and what we can look forward to. Let's start with the quarterbacks. Who will you give the edge at quarterback right now, the way things stand today? We'll go with Christopher first. And why?
Are we going to get good Hank or bad Hank?
If
we get good Hank, gosh. He's a better, more experienced quarterback. He's more precise. He's got a better arm. I would go with Hank any day of the week over Durant. That being said, he also has an extreme problem with ball security, indecisions, whiny little wimp, and just generally pisses me off. So,
I didn't know that. I'm sorry,
I just call
man. That
was
as
funny. I see him.
And by the way, Bruce, I'm trying to call you. Either you got to get off the phone or something like that, because I'm trying to call and the call won't go through. So just so you know, just want to let Bruce know that. And now we just lost one of you guys. I'm having a hard time keeping everybody in the room, I guess, on the show. But that's okay. We'll muddle through. All right, so what about you, Mike? Quarterback, who has the advantage? Why?
Well, I kind of agree with Chris somewhat, depending on if you're going to get the bad Hank or the good Hank. You get the good Hank, ball control, don't try to do too much, stronger arm, can hit his receivers in stride, you know. Durant, on the other hand, you know, if he gets the scrambling, which is only his good side, he gets the scrambling and not overthrowing his receivers, I mean, really – It's kind of hard to call, because it all depends on who's having the better game. But the slight edge I give to Hank. But it all depends on which one shows up.
Hmm. Well, you know, Chris, you know, isn't it the same thing? The variables here, the same thing can be said for home field advantage. You know, there's an inconsistency there as well. Saskatchewan has to be careful because if they let the crowd turn on them, it could be a real interesting game.
Frank, you know what Chris just said? He lost his internet, which is his phone, so he'll be back.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. So what do you think about that, what I just said?
Go ahead, repeat that again, Frank.
Okay, and now Bruce John Inch is, I finally got through to Bruce, I think.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Bruce, how you
What's
doing?
What's up, Bruce?
Happy hump day.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe we'll catch Bruce up. Bruce, the first thing we said is discussed is the quarterbacks. Who has the advantage and why in your mind? Bearing in mind you're a Hamilton fan.
Well, I kind of think they both have equal chances because we've both been practicing in pretty much the same weather until the last couple of weeks maybe when it's been a bit colder out in Saskatchewan. But, you know, like you said, you guys are Saskatchewan's practicing indoors and Cats apparently are practicing outdoors. So I think it's going to be pretty even. I think it's going to be a lot closer than everybody thinks. So I like to say, you know, Henry Bruce is better, but, you know, like you say, I'm a Ticat fan. I'm going to be partial.
And it's okay to be a Ticat fan. There's nothing wrong with that, unless you're Manasse. Right, Manasse?
Yeah, that's funny.
So what? I think we've heard your definition of both quarterbacks before, but refresh our memory. You'll hit on the high points and give us an indication of who you think has the upper hand and why.
Who?
You, Manasse.
Oh, okay. No, I guess when it comes down to comparing Burris, if you see the two games he played against the Riders, it was back-to-back weeks, and we saw two completely different players. First game in Saskatchewan, Burris was through 158 yards, no touchdowns and interception. The next week back in Guelph, he went 395 yards, two TDs, no picks. Now, you know, so that just comes down to which Burris are we going to get ultimately. And for Durant went 347 yards, four TDs, no interceptions against Hamilton. And then the next week he was injured and Drew Willey stepped in and had 269 and three TDs. So I think that shows us that Hamilton's defense is weaker. They're not as good at stopping the pass as the Riders are. And ultimately I think Durant is going to be more successful. And Burris has a higher likelihood of faltering, and whether it's by the defense or the crowd getting in his head. So I got to go Durant.
Okay. Now, we've discussed before, but I think it's important to discuss the home field advantage. Real quick, I think it depends on how consistently Saskatchewan plays. If they lose the crowd, it could get ugly. That's my opinion. Bruce, what do you think?
I totally agree what you just said. You know, totally agree. Saskatchewan obviously has a big advantage here of being the home crowd. But like I said, if Hamilton comes out of the gates, man, they might shut that crowd right up.
Manasse?
Yeah, I mean, that's the case regardless of who's playing anywhere, you know what I mean? But ultimately, look at their track record. The Riders have absolutely dominated Hamilton for the last three, almost 4 years now. And I don't see any indication why that's going to change. Still, their defense, they may have got better, but their defense is still not elite. And like Chris can attest, Hamilton is nowhere higher of a competition level than what the Riders did facing BC and Calgary. So for me, for the Riders, it's a step down in the level of competition that they're facing to go from those two elite teams to Hamilton. Because ultimately, Hamilton, if they were in the West, they wouldn't even be in the playoffs, right? So I think that says a lot.
Well, they would have been the crossover team.
No, they wouldn't have made it in the West because, Hamilton or BC was,
Hamilton,
was 11 and 7.
No, but they would have been the crossover team. They still would have played where they played.
But I'm saying
they're going to cross over to the East.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you get my point, though. They're just not
no,
as good as BC or Calgary.
So. But you're you know, they were 11-4 in their last 15 games. 11-4.
But can you say honestly that they're better than BC or Calgary? I mean, really?
No. What I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. And you know why I'm not saying it? Because it's Manasseh. It's irrelevant. All that matters is they were good enough in the East. Yeah. You know, Manasseh, I have seen in my life. I'll give you a baseball example. Does anyone remember the Kansas City Royals coming into Toronto, 1989? The same year that Saskatchewan beat Hamilton. The Kansas City Royals had no business beating the Toronto Blue Jays that year. And they went on to the World Series and won. And I think they barely were 500. So, you know, it's all about in the CFL and in sports when it comes to the playoffs, if you get on a roll, good things can happen for you. And right now, I don't think anyone can deny that the team that's been on the best roll since, let's say, the last half of the season, even more than Saskatchewan, is Hamilton. They've been on a great roll. They've played well, and they deserve to be where they are. I'm not going to sit here and kid myself into thinking just because the Argos had a better record, I'm not going to sit here and whine and say, well, they should be in the Grey Cup. I think they should be in the Grey Cup, but that's not because of reality. That's just because I'm an Argo fan, you know? So, no, I disagree with you. How about you guys? How about you, Christopher? Do you think that Hamilton, because of where they came from and their ability, do you think they're that low ranked that they're not even as good as your BC Lions?
Yes.
Okay. And not.
I don't think they have team together. Hamilton does not have the team together that would be able to compete in a Western Division at this point in time. They just don't have the manpower to do that.
I remember one game Hamilton beat BC this year, 37-29 or something.
Yeah,
that's because BC has to fly out east. BC always struggles whenever they have to make that long.
Okay, well, we only lost by 3 points when we played you at West. We lost by a field goal, and I think Kanji was playing that game, and he missed a couple field goals. So that could have went either way, too, bro.
And Harry Burns had a good game that game, too.
You know?
Yeah, but it's over the whole season. Could you guys consistently beat Calgary or Saskatchewan?
But you're missing.
Edmonton beat them.
The point I'm trying to say, guys,
is that for Saskatchewan, both teams been on a roll. Both teams started from the first round and made it here, right? The difference is Saskatchewan had to go through BC and Calgary. And it's the same if you're in your workplace or it's the
same
if you're training.
We had to go through Toronto and Montreal.
Exactly my point. And that's what I'm trying to say. If you're fighting, like, let's say you're let's compare it to boxing, right? And you go up against two top-ranked fighters, and then all of a sudden you got a fighter that's ranked maybe eighth or ninth. After going through what you went through with the other two, it's not going to be as difficult for you. That's all I'm trying to say.
But let's be clear, that's in your mind, not in reality. Reality has nothing to do with
it. Okay, reality is ranked. There's no denying it. Everybody knows BC and Calgary are better than Hamilton. That's not even... Even
I don't
any
know that.
CFL aficionado can come to that conclusion, regardless of who's your team. I mean, really, the West has always been better than the East for God knows how long. It's probably been like 10, 15 years running now.
Okay, so hang on a second here. Frank, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you believe that the Western Division is a stronger division to play in than the Eastern Division?
Of course it is this year. Of course it's a stronger division to play in. That's not the question.
Okay, no, hang on. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
Let me finish. Calgary went 14-4. Saskatchewan and BC were both 11-7 in a tougher division. Hamilton came out 10-8. So they are ranked lower in an easier division, which they play more in. So naturally speaking, right here, we are going to say that Hamilton ranked as high as Saskatchewan or Calgary. That's not debatable. That's just fact.
No, but that's sheer numbers, and you have to admit, you both have to admit that part of the reason why you'll think that Hamilton and Toronto and the Eastern Division teams wouldn't stand a chance in that division. You guys have said it before, because of the big front lines you guys have, that they would maul the Eastern Division team, right?
What they're feeling to missing between the Western and Eastern teams?
Go ahead, buddy.
The Eastern teams
are built for the pass. The Western teams are built for the run. That's the reason why the offensive lines are bigger in the West than the East. Now, if you want to go to a pure shootout, the East gonna have the East is gonna be better than the West in a pure shootout any day.
I don't know about
that. I'll go with BC defensive backs in a shoot.
Man, I'm telling you,
the reason Eastern teams have so many shootouts is because their defenses are terrible.
Now,
I mean that's what it is.
Okay.
Beyonce, here.
Okay. Let's take a break from and welcome our former CFL player, former Toronto Argonaut, B.J. Hall. B.J., welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, well,
B.J.,
what up? What's going on?
I had nothing much, man. It's Mike, man. What up, though?
What's up, Mike? How you doing? Welcome.
Oh, man, chilling. Blessed, man. Blessed.
Now, Mike is a friend of yours. And I asked Mike if you could be on the program, and thank you for making the time to be on the program, BJ. You're getting over a tough injury, aren't you? And explain to us the injury that you've been forced to overcome, and you have overcome it.
Well, it wasn't really a big injury. It was a bulging disc. You know, at this point now, I can say I'm fully healed from the injury. It was something that was a minor setback, but hard work, you know, dedication, and you know, believing in the man upstairs, man. I'm fully healed now,
and ready to play football again.
And ready to play football.
Now, you played for your local team, Lakeland, in the arena football.
Yes, I played for the Lakeland Raiders and also the Orlando Predators this past season.
Tell us from your perspective as a player, what is it, and you're a quarterback, by the way, folks. I should mention that. And B.J. Hall is one of those quarterbacks that is aloof of foot. He's got a good run in him. He's a twin threat. And actually, coming out of college, you're a triple threat when it comes to sports. Tell us the other sports that you played.
I played baseball, basketball, and also ran track.
There you go. So four.
Yeah.
Good for you, man. Now, obviously, the track part of your experience is important because your one touchdown that you got in the CFL while playing for the Argos against Calgary in 2011 was the kind of touchdown we expect from CFL quarterbacks who have always been mobile. You consider yourself a mobile kind of quarterback. You ran in, I think, from the 8-yard line or something, or 10-yard line?
Yeah, it was something like that, man. You know, I see myself as, like I tell my kids today, man, you know, they ask me, like, Coach, can you run? I say, you know what, you know, I prefer to pass, but if they give me an open, I'm going to take it.
You know, that's how you watch the game between Toronto and Hamilton. Wouldn't that be the definition of a quarterback taking advantage of the openings that he's given? Burris really there was no answer. The Argos had no answer for Burris's running with the ball. They left a lot of opening, you know, downfield.
Definitely. And Burris would do that to you. I studied Henry when I first came into the league. And he did it to us. I'd never forget. But they told me that's who, you know, my game reminded them of. And from what I saw, you know, when we first played him, I mean, he struck for like 60 yards. I think this guy was like 35 years old at the time. And when I seen him take off, I was like, wow. You know, I think we were in man. And he just struck, and I was like, man, you know, you wouldn't have thought that. You wouldn't have thought Henry Burris would have took off for 60 yards on us, but he did, and it hurt us.
And it's important that it's very difficult, and it's important for a quarterback to have that ability to really throw a monkey wrench into a defense, isn't it? It keeps the defense honest.
Keep them honest. Oh, yeah, definitely, man. Definitely in the CFL, man. It's a wide field. It's a lot of room to run, man, especially when you get a team that goes, you know, either max or they go man, there's going to be open vacancies in the middle for the quarterback to run the football.
Would you be interested in coming to play in the CFL next year?
Oh, without a doubt, man. Any opportunity to play football and strap it back to home, man, I would love it. I'm training down here now. I'm coaching football, so I'm throwing every day, running every day. I mean, I do the drills first before my kids do. So I'm preparing myself for an opportunity for sure.
The good news is there's going to be 43 new jobs.
Yes, sir.
So that, you know, it might not be a million jobs, but that's 43 more opportunities for football players to find a place, to find a home.
Yes, sir. And I'm preparing myself to be one of those, you know, one of those guys to take on that 43.
Could you tell us the difference, the transition in your mind going from, first of all, normal American football, college football, three-down football to the CFL? What is the toughest part of that transition?
And the 12 players. When I came into the league, it was totally a different game to me. The thing that was the same, it was outdoors, you know, but the Canadian game was originated from rugby. So when I stepped out there, man, I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't get a grasp of it till about week 8. And that's just the honest truth. And, you know, playing, you know, American football is different, and there's not as many coverages, you know. In American football, you know, they have, you know, you have the simple cover 1, cover 2, cover 4, cover 0. And, you know, they may mix things up on either side. But when you're trying to find out 12 guys and what they're doing, it's tough, and it becomes a game of where you have to study, you know, more than just the defense. You have to study chemistry with these players. And you got good players out there, some guys that should be in the league. And to me, it just took hours and hours of film study that I had to do. I had to learn that. You know, my first couple weeks there, that was a big issue. I didn't watch a lot of film. I watched enough film, but I didn't watch a lot of film. And by week 8, I started doing that, and that's when I started grasping the CFL game.
So then you went down to indoor football. We had a short experience with that here in Toronto. I think it only lasted a year or two. Tell us about the difference. I mean, there's obvious stuff. You know, you're playing in an arena where people usually play basketball or hockey. But give us some insight into the difference playing as a quarterback in indoor football.
Well, the key word in arena football is fast. It's extremely fast. It's very compact. It's a wear and tear on your body. But at the same time, it teaches you how to have a quick release. Mechanics, they become out the window. You throw them away because, I mean, there's times where you may take a two-step drop, a one-step drop, and your body may be awkward, but you got to let that ball go to a spot. I happen to play with, you know, some very good veteran quarterbacks and back up some good veteran quarterbacks where, I was taught pretty well, like a guy like Brett Deese and a guy like Shane Stafford. I was taught by also this past year, Aaron Garcia. So, I learned some good things, but those guys, man, their best passes, you know, mechanics are out the window, you know, and what you're getting out there ball.
So it's important. When you say speed, it also means you have to make decisions really quick and sharp passes.
Really fast. Really fast.
And okay, so you want – no, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, I think that's why, you know, Kurt Warner was so good when he came to the National Football League because, you know, I think it slowed down for him. The read slowed down because you got to get rid of the ball, man. And at some point, you can't pre-snap that fast. It's making a decision on the go.
It sure is tough, isn't it?
Well, I don't want to say tough, but it's fun. But, you know, it takes a guy who has to have, you know, leadership and also know the game. You have to know the game in arena football.
I hear that. Well, now, are you willing to join us part of the conversation here? We're going to talk about the Grey Cup, and we'll add you into some of the insights, if you don't mind. You into that, PJ? Okay,
yes,
good
sir.
Man. All right. So I got Bruce back. I lost Bruce. He came back.
You
we got
did.
Andrew. Now, Andrew's here as well, right? Andrew Yule?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Make sure your mic's not too loud. It doesn't matter how loud it is, just as long as it doesn't overmodulate. Anyway, so here we are. 4 days away from the Grey Cup. We've discussed the fact, well, Andrew, we haven't heard from you. Tell us the difference between the quarterbacks in your mind.
I think the quarterbacks coming out of the East right now, there's the veteran, you know, the passing guys that just can stay in the slot, throw the ball, and they got the accuracy behind them. And then you look at some of the guys out West, Durant, Riley, even a lot of all three out of Calgary, they all can move, they all can get out of that slot, move around, they can make running plays if they have to.
Okay, what about specifically the two quarterbacks that it'll be, you know, basically being on opposite sides of the field on Grey Cup Day?
I think Durant has more weapons in his arsenal. He's not a guy that Henry Burris, don't get me wrong, he's got the experience, he's a veteran quality guy, he can throw the ball. But he can't run like Durant can. If you put the two and two beside each other, Durant's 10 times a better runner. He threw for, what, I think 80% last week against Calgary. Calgary's got some great DBs and made him look like nothing. So I think he's going to have a lot more in his arsenal to show this Sunday coming up compared to Burris.
Okay. Now we got somebody came in through Facebook. Who do we have coming through Facebook?
No, it's me, Mike, or me, Frank.
Oh, okay, Manasseh. I got you.
Yep.
All right. I see now that you're there. Okay, good. I'm just trying to keep track of who's where, and I'm trying to remember which number who's on what. So, okay, so now I guess we can all agree that really it's a home field is a toss-up depending on how the game goes. The quarterbacks do have advantages. Would it be fair to say that maybe – Burris gets the advantage with the arm and Durant gets the advantage with the legs?
I agree there.
Look at last week, though. 80%.
Not bad.
Not bad
at
all.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. Exactly. Okay. Now, obviously, we talked about home field advantage. Did everybody get their chance to put their 2 cents in as far as home field advantage is concerned?
The stadium is going to be loud, man. It's going to be Rider Nation all over the place. And if the crowd gets into Burr's head and get into the team's head, they ain't going to be able to, if they be real loud, they're not going to be able to call their plays, they're not going to be able to hear each other. And, you know, it's just going to be pandemonium out there. If they could go ahead and settle down, get the play call in, get the ball snapped, and like I said earlier, Frank, execute the offense well, I mean, who say that Hamilton's not going to win? It's all about this execution.
That all makes sense. How about you, Christopher? Are you with us, Christopher?
I think maybe the phone's still messing up.
yeah, that's fair enough. That's fine. Okay. We touched a little bit with BJ. BJ, the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. How do you see for the quarterback to be successful, for Burris to be successful, what does he have to do against Saskatchewan in your mind?
I think Henry just has to be Henry. I think going out there, I think Henry's going to have to use his leg because it is going to be loud and he's not going to be able to hear. I remember my first year playing up there. Playing in Saskatchewan is the loudest place I've ever been in my life. And through the week, you know, we had speakers, like, just blasting in practice, and we couldn't hear. So I think that's going to be a factor, but Henry's going to have to take control of the game. But he has weapons around him. Santos and Ellis and them guys can play. So, I mean, I think, you know, with him, he needs to distribute the ball, get the ball into his playmaker's hands, but also beat Henry and use his feet, you know, get key first down.
Well, you did bring up a good point about when you said you were practicing there at home and you had the game noise in the background. I can say going to practices up here, Tight Cats have the same thing going on.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah, no, the Argos did it for their home game.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's all about execution for me. Whatever team executes the ball better, execute their plays, that's who's going to win.
All right.
I don't care about the bigger offensive linemen or the smaller defensive linemen. I mean, Hamilton got this far. They can go all the way. Execution.
Absolutely.
That's all.
Now, what about
What about comparing the running backs? We've got C.J. Gable, who had, well, I hope I don't insult Bruce by saying he's had an inconsistent year. But it also could be fair to say that Corey Sheets didn't have a consistent year either. Who has the advantage there? B.J., let's start with you. Oh, go ahead, Chris. Go ahead, Christopher. You jumped in. Go ahead.
Wasn't me.
Well, that was Andrew. Sorry, that was Andrew. Go
oh,
ahead,
sorry,
Andrew.
I didn't mean to cut in there.
No, don't worry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying, they're in two different leagues, these running backs. Corey Sheets is the number one running back. He was injured for three games. He wasn't injured for those three
number
games.
Number two.
Maybe
yeah.
Two games.
John Cornish was
two
number
and
one.
Half. I'd say if he wasn't injured for those two and a half games, he could have been number one. He's in a totally different league than C.J. Gable, and you got to look at the lines that are in front of each one of them as well. If Saskatchewan shows up with the O-line they had this last game and Sheets has the same game as he did, easily going to run over Gable the entire game. Gable needs to get over 100 yards just to be in the same group this coming Sunday.
Bruce, do you feel the same?
I got no comment because I kind of do, but... You know, Corey Sheets, he's a weapon, man. He's unbelievable. I'll give you guys that much, man. He is unbelievable. And in order to for us to be successful on Sunday, we have to shut him down. There's no question about that. There's no question.
What about
and
you, Manasseh?
You know what?
Go ahead, Mike. No, you go ahead, Mike.
No, I was going to say, like I said in the middle of the week, if C.J. Gable can't get it done, put in Siobhan Walker. Somebody going to get it done.
Manasseh? B.J., go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I had a privilege of training with Siobhan back in 2012. And Siobhan is a weapon. I don't know what happened, why he didn't play this year. But
I think it had to do
time,
with the ratio thing, to be honest with you.
Well, that's the same, man, because every time that dude touched the ball, he can take it to the house.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I know for a fact he was disappointed that he was scratched in a lot of games this year. But you know what? That kid, he was a flipping warrior, man. Even in practice, he never gave up, man. He always showed up to practice 110%.
But well, that's what I got him.
Siobhan Walker,
man. I mean,
play.
Go ahead,
Andrew.
Oh, I was just saying, Siobhan Walker is a talent that needs to be playing. I don't know if I've seen him last year. He's way better than C.J. Gable, and they've had him benched this entire year. I don't know if it's with the ratios or politics, but he should be playing the number one spot.
That's the reason why I said if C.J. Gable can't get it done, Siobhan Walker is going to come in and do it because, I mean, he's thirsty. He's hungry. He hasn't played almost all year. So what makes you think them first legs won't get it done? Yeah,
well, I mean, we all got to remember the reason why he got benched. I mean, this goes back to last year. If we remember, right. Avon Colburn stepped in and took his spot. And it comes down to the fact that Siobhan Walker is a great running back, and he can run and catch it out the backfield and make plays. But he just isn't as good of a pass blocker as C.J. Gable, and that's what gave C.J. Gable the edge. And in the CFL, the number one role for a running back is you have to be able to pass protect and make sure the quarterback doesn't get hit. And that's why he got beat out. So,
and that's the gospel. And that's the gospel. And that's the gospel. Last year, Corey Boyd was let go, leading the league in rushing by the Toronto Argonauts because he couldn't do that. At least that
he
was the
pass block.
That was it. And he was leading the league in rushing at the time.
Yeah, but in my opinion, I just think a guy like Siobhan, you got to find a spot for him where you get him the ball. I remember, you know, his rookie year, you know, he was taking screens to the house for 90 yards. He was taking, you know, runs for 90 yards. I mean, I think that would be a big key in this game. You're going to need one of those plays. And he's the guy to do it, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody here disagrees with Siobhan's talent level. But unfortunately, it's what he does without the ball that's the problem. Anyone feel differently?
Was the problem.
Hmm?
Was the
Again?
Problem.
That he didn't block.
It,
we haven't seen him. play that much.
It just comes down to the ratio. I mean, if they were to start him or have him on the active roster, that means they're going to have to bench either Greg Ellingson or Sammy Jaeger. And ultimately, Ken Austin's going to think in his mind it's better to have one of his, you know, main receivers rather than having a backup running back. So that's what it comes down to, really.
Yeah, it's all a numbers game.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that's what happens sometimes. You know, the depth chart kicks you. A lot of great players are stuck behind somebody who don't get the chance to show what they can do. And I guess that's why, and I think, BJ, you can speak to this yourself, right? You got to be ready to play, don't you? Because you never know when you're going to get that chance to show what you can do.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Right? So that's 100%. Why you always have to be ready. So unfortunately, it sounds to me that what I'm hearing here is, are we suggesting that he won't even dress? Is that what we're saying, Manasseh?
Yeah, that he won't. I mean, all year, whenever C.J. Gable's been active, he wasn't even on the active roster. And that happens to most running backs. The only way he can get on the active roster is if he can return kicks, and they already have guys doing that.
They sure do. And you know what? Special teams is going to be a factor, too. What's the rookie? I can't think of his name for Hamilton. The one that does any banks or something like that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All he got to do is if he can get a couple to the 50-yard line, 5-yard line, and get Hamilton some field position, and they can go ahead and execute the players off that 45, 50-yard line to the end zone, man, I'm not going to say Hamilton might lose the Grey Cup. I said they can have a chance of winning. But the special teams got to come up big.
So in kick returning, you took the words right out of my mouth, which is fine. In kick returning on both sides of the specialty teams, you've got the kicking and the returning. In returning, you're saying that Banks gives Hamilton the advantage in returning. Who does anyone disagree with that?
No, I agree 100%.
I agree.
Nobody disagrees. Okay, now what about in kicking? We watched the game last week with Hamilton in Toronto, and I was disappointed with the kicking by Hamilton. I was kind of confused by the way they were kicking. Who has the advantage there in kicking?
Saskatchewan usually holds the advantage. Ricky Schmidt keeps the ball as far back as he can. He can kick that ball far, and it's all going to be ball possession, and we're going to get that ball to begin with.
Yeah, I think Josh Botel is one of the best punters, kickers in the CFL.
Milo's great as long as he has to hit the upright.
No, that's Kanji. That's our field goal guy. Two different people.
It's Milo. It's Saskatchewan's doing
Milo
it.
Hit the
Milo
upright,
does it
like,
too.
4 or 5 times.
Yeah. Milo, like, you know, historically, guys, you know, aside from the fact that Saskatchewan says there's not going to be a 13th man at the stadium, Saskatchewan's had a lot of bad luck with kickers. Great kickers have not had great days, you know, great cup time. Do we see that this being the year that finally a kicker does well for Saskatchewan and doesn't end up, you know, with a burning lawn in the front of his house?
Did you forget about Dave Ridgway? Robo kicker?
Yeah, no, I didn't forget about Ridgway.
30 years ago.
I didn't forget about Ridgway. I watched him. I watched him kick it towards me. I was at the Sky Dome in the press box. I felt like I could have caught it. He was such a good kicker. Yeah, no doubt.
Wow.
But since then, Saskatchewan has not had any luck in the big game with the kicker.
We got screwed with Paul McCallum, though.
Well, he's now in BC doing a great job there.
Right, my favorite kicker, not even in the CFL anymore, man. He's down in the NFL, Justin Matlock. So, you know, I don't got to.
Well, didn't he get released though? I thought he got released because there was talk actually he might be coming back up to Hamilton. Like that's just the rumor, but you know, I've heard it.
Wow. Right, that was my favorite kicker in Hamilton.
Oh, he was my
Matlock.
Favorite too when he played for Hamilton. That guy was awesome, and what an awesome personality too off the field.
Uh-huh. So what conclusion did we arrive at? That I think it's a soft when it comes to kicking. The combination of kick and return, the plus-minus on yardage, you know. I think Saskatchewan's going to have a bit of an edge when it comes to that. when you work the kicking and the return together, even though Banks is a game breaker. Do you see Banks breaking one? Does anyone see Banks breaking one in the game?
If you guys you got to stay north to south, though, man. You know, no dancing, just go.
If he stayed north or south, I believe he might get, like I said, to the 50, 55, Hamilton's side of the ball. I believe he can get to the 45-yard line, and then Hayne got to go ahead and work from there.
And what's the game?
And if he breaks one, that's going to be a game changer for sure. Let you know now, that's going to be a game changer.
Andrew, you want to repeat what you said? I didn't quite make it out.
I was just saying, what about throwing a wild card back there for the kick return and putting Dressler in there? Dressler's got good legs, he's shown it for one game. See what happens.
Do you see them willing?
I don't think they're going to put Dressler back there to do no punts, no kicks. Because if he get leveled one good time, he's out.
He's done it last before, and that's where he started in the league, was kick return. And he's done it a few times this year for us when we needed it, because our kick returner for one game dropped the ball two or three times. So Dressler had to take over that duty because he was the only one that could actually hold on to the ball.
Yeah, what you're saying, in a desperate moment, they could use him, but it won't be something they'll go to right away. You know, we have the same problem here in Toronto with the Argos, where, you know, Chad Owens last year survived being a kick returner and a receiver, but this year not so much.
Nope. He's taking too much punishment. Too much.
Now, it will be, Mike, though, you have to admit, it's the last game of the year. I mean, desperate situations call for desperate measures, right?
Desperate measures. You're right. But if Dressler takes a kick off a punt return and get a level, then Durant is going to miss his guy because, you know, he goes to Dressler on a lot of situations, especially down the middle.
To keep a drive going.
There you go. That's why it's not right out of my mouth.
And go ahead, Christopher.
Getzlaff's not 100% either.
Yeah, he's back, but not 100%.
Yep.
No.
Whoa. Who said he's not 100%? He caught some big balls last game, and he looked great.
Not denying that, but he himself says he's not running at 100%. He's got a brace on his knee, and he's not there. I'm not saying he's not a difference maker, because he is. He's a great receiver. But if out of his words, he's not 100%.
That doesn't mean that his 80, 90% isn't good enough to play. I don't think we're disputing the greatness
exactly.
of the player. I agree with Christopher. He's not 100% healthy by his own admission, but an 85, 90% Getzlaff is not a bad thing to have.
You're right.
Now, what about Fantuz, guys? This guy's got, you know, he has a history with Saskatchewan. He hasn't been healthy all year, but, he's part of the reason why Hamilton has made the charge that they have to the Grey Cup, don't you think?
Absolutely. Look at last game against Toronto. He was MVP of that game, I'll tell you.
Fantuz came up big for Hamilton this year, no doubt.
When he played,
no,
with offense,
but he was almost half the season.
When he played, he came with some big plays, big catches.
Andrew, you were trying to slide
something
in there, Andrew.
I was just saying, if Fantuz wasn't in Hamilton this year, Hamilton wouldn't be in the Grey Cup right now. Fantuz, even injured, has been carrying the team on his back the entire year.
Well, what about Ellingson? You know, they've got some weapons there.
True. We got Andre Jones, too. Don't forget Sammy Zagier. We got a lot of weapons, guys.
Tasker,
you know,
Tasker's
that
done a good job, too.
That new kid that just came in, Luke Tasker.
That's
Come
right.
Come on. Yeah. And we got Sticky Stave Stella, man. He's always a clinch on second down when we need him.
Second down, especially in goal line situations, you can always go to Stella.
Absolutely, man.
So we got
our weapons ourselves.
Receiving, we give the edge to Hamilton or to Saskatchewan. Bruce?
I'm saying Hamilton 100% on that.
Christopher?
Flip a coin.
Andrew?
Saskatchewan.
Manasseh?
Saskatchewan.
BJ, you got a comment on the receivers? You're a quarterback.
Right, yeah. I'm gonna go with Hamilton.
You like the tools. And why would you go for Hamilton? We haven't heard you. Give us some insights as a quarterback. What do you see?
Well, when you got a guy like Fantuz, big target, great route runner and smart, that's a win-win situation all day. And then you got guys that compliment him. You got a guy like Ellison who came in and showed what he could do when he was injured. I mean, when he wasn't injured. And you know, the other guys are veterans. You know, what is his name?
Dave Stella.
Stella. You got guys like that, man, who compliment him. That's a win-win situation all day, man. I have to go with Hamilton.
Mike.
Same here. Not Hamilton.
Manasseh.
Busters.
Yeah, I got can I ask a question to BJ real quick?
Go ahead.
Okay, so as a quarterback, like I listened to an interview by Andy Fantuz, and he talked about the biggest difference between last year's offense with George Cortez and this year with Ken Austin. Is he said that Ken Austin allows the receivers to do more of reading and reacting to what the defense is doing and allowing them to have different options on their routes versus Cortez, who wanted the receivers to run a specific route. So as a quarterback, which do you have a preference for either one, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely love for the receivers to have an option because, you know, then you're on the same page. If you're seeing what I'm seeing, then we're on the same page and the defense can't win because
right.
they don't know what we're doing.
Okay.
We had that in Toronto in 2011 where, you know, a lot of our routes, they had option routes. And, you know, we didn't do a good job with getting them the ball, but at the same time, when you got a guy like Chad Owens who you're on the same page with, I mean, as you can see it this year, you know what I'm saying, over there in Toronto, you can't stop a guy like that, you know.
Wow.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, let's take a short break, and we'll hear from the man himself and hear what he has to say.
Number 83, Andy Fantuz.
He's awesome.
What a Canada's best.
All-around Canadian.
Love this guy.
He's got the eyes of a tiger. You can't tame this guy.
He's fierce.
He's a winner.
He's fast. Raw.
Got good hands.
He's all in.
Got a pretty good poker face.
I love watching this guy.
He goes with a jackpot.
Oh, yeah.
He raises the stakes.
Never fold.
Rebuild and weep.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Best guest.
Chris Getzlaff.
Yes.
Ryder Pratt.
Local boy.
He's what Ryder Pye was all about.
Born and raised in the CFL.
That's cool.
A lot of pride when you're born in the province you're playing in.
You want power, grit, and glory? Getz will get you.
Yeah, that's Getz.
For Stanley Cup and Grey Cup in the family.
Now that's pride.
Yeah, you gotta love this guy.
Welcome to Ryderville.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
This is a league of A's and BC's. It's green and red and gold and black and blue. This is a league with two official languages and many unofficial languages. It's East versus West, wheat versus iron, love versus hate. This is a league where superstars are extraordinary and ordinary at the same time. It's a league of ice, of fog, of mud, and wind. And for one Sunday in November, it's the nation's glue. This is a league as diverse as a country, a league of Jacksons and Kwongs, Johnsons, Moscas, O'Shea's, and Haji Razulis. This is his league, her league, and their league. It's my league, and it's your league. This is our league.
I am Ryder Pride.
The flag bearers of our league.
the spirit of our game.
I will deafen all foes.
I will represent my team,
my province,
and my fellow fans
with honor and pride.
And inspire the next generation
of the Rider Nation.
Green is my color.
Football is my game.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
There's an unwritten code in Hamilton. If you live by it, chances are you've replaced the last beer in a cooler. You don't talk during the national anthem. You believe that great things can come from a little room above a fruit stand. You know Mac is a university, not a computer. Your child's first words were Oski Wee Wee. You know a red hat looks good with black and gold, and understand that double blue only looks good on the police. You believe hot water isn't a necessity for the visitor's dressing room. You've hit every green light on Main Street twice. You believe there's a little general in all of us. You only wear your good hard hat to games. You know King Kong was more than an ape, he was a five-time All-Star. You've parked on somebody's lawn to catch a kickoff. You know that Porter is a quarterback, not a bellhop. You've worn a kilt to a football game. You understand that every once in a while you have to be the center. You believe a football team can outlast 22 prime ministers, two world wars, a great depression, and still give birth to a pearl. You've worn a garbage bag as a raincoat. You've never seen a fair catch. You pick a concession line not based on how long the line is, but how hot that cashier looks. You understand that Labor Day is more than an extra day off. And no matter what happens on the field, your season is a success if you beat the Argos.
1, 2, 3.
We're the Argos cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show.
We're the Argos cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show. Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank!
There you go, Frank. There you go.
Thank you, sis. Yeah,
go
all right.
Frank, go Frank, go
there
Frank.
There you go.
Hardest cheerleaders in the CFL.
There you go.
Took them a couple of times to get through, but they figured it out.
I agree.
All right, well, you know, sometimes it's a part of my job is getting them to do a promo for me. So basically that we're down to 4 days, you know, before the big game. What do you think is going on, and what are they working on? I want your opinions, guys, as fans who follow the team very closely, starting with you, Bruce. I think it's fair to say you told us that they're working outside. So right now Hamilton's working on getting used to getting acclimatized, if you will, Bruce. Is that the key thing they're doing right now?
Yeah, I was following them pretty much all day today on Twitter and on Facebook, and I just saw them on the news there, and it was snowing and blowing in Saskatchewan, and they were outside. They had the heaters going, warming up their hands, but, you know, it didn't look too good out there, but they were out there giving it all, you know.
A good go. They're going at it.
Like I said, I heard Saskatchewan's indoors. I don't know quite why, but, you know.
Well, maybe because they're already used to the bad weather.
Yeah, but you really think they are, because the bad weather just started a couple of weeks ago, didn't it? Really?
Yeah, like, no, but it's not like it happens every year, doesn't it?
Right, right. Well, I heard still game time, they're calling for sunny and a high of zero. So,
I thought it was like minus two or something they were saying.
The last I heard was zero, but...
They get acclimated with the cold weather, so you know it might not be a factor for them practicing, doing everything out in the cold. Get used to it now, so when game time come around, it won't be a factor.
No,
it won't be a surprise, right?
Yep.
BJ,
yep,
what do you think? You're a Florida boy. I mean, you know, like, what's it like playing like being a Florida guy? You know, you live in Florida. I've spent a few days there. Usually in the winter, it's pretty warm. You grow oranges down there, and then you end up in a game in Saskatchewan and Calgary, and you end up with that minus stuff. How tough is that?
Well, I go back to a scenario back in 2011 when we played Saskatchewan, and I believe it might have been maybe 20 degrees, and one of our quarterbacks that got injured, it was Steven Giles that just got injured, and I was by the heater, and I had my jacket on, and You know, I was sitting by the heater, and coach was like, DJ, warm up. And I was like, I am warming up. And he was like, no, you're getting in the game. And I tell you, man, that's some of the coldest weather that you'll probably play in. It's definitely a factor because, you know, me coming from Florida and being a rookie, you know, I didn't really understand how to dress. And by the time I was there, I got told how to dress. And they were like, man, you need to wear gloves, you know, double gloves, double Under Armour. And I was like, dude, I wish somebody would have told me this before I got up here.
Man, job's a job, buddy. A job's a job. Andrew, yeah. What do you think?
Well, I'm actually watching the replay of the Calgary and Saskatchewan game right now with their electric hand warmers and their long sleeves on TSN here, and it's pretty entertaining. Even Calgary's not used to the cold yet. Doesn't matter, those 4 days are going to help acclimatize Hamilton to the cold weather. Even minus two with wind chill is going to be pretty cold for them.
Manasse, what do you think? The weather's an advantage for Saskatchewan then?
I think it is just because they have a more of a veteran team. At the end of the day, I think the Hamilton has the youngest team in the league, and they got a lot of guys from down south who might not be used to it. So I think it just comes down to your mentality, you know, how you go into it. And I think the veteran squad that Saskatchewan has, I think they'll be more focused and be able to overcome it a lot quicker.
Christopher?
I'm thinking minus two is not really that cold, but I guess it is. We got minus two out in BC. I'll tell you, I'd rather take minus 20 in Saskatchewan over minus two in BC.
Because you get that dampness gets right in your bones.
Minus 20 in Saskatchewan's t-shirt weather.
Manasseh, I said Manasseh. Who did I want to say? Mike, what do you think, buddy?
Like I said earlier, man, they out there practicing in the cold weather. It might not be a factor to them. All they got to do is get acclimated to it and try to put it behind them and just go ahead and play. That's all.
Okay. Now, how about where are we at with injuries as far as does anyone have any opinions on factors that may change because of injury? Going on to injuries or coming off injuries? Manasseh, how about you?
I'm trying to think, I don't think there's any major injuries during the playoffs. I don't think anything popped up. I think the only big injuries for each team, like in Saskatchewan, they're missing Ray Williams. He got hurt earlier in the year. But they have Mike McCullough, who's done a solid job, a middle linebacker. Other than that, I'm trying to think in Hamilton. I think that's it, really. I don't think there's any other major injuries for either team.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so either.
So injuries
are injuries that are undisclosed, but that's what they need
about,
for.
What,
keeping fresh.
What about Shamari Williams? What about Shamari Williams?
I don't think he played all year.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, maybe one or two. Eh? He's what number nine, I think, with us.
Yeah.
Yep. I think he played maybe one or two games.
I don't think he played very much.
And one thing when no, forget it. It's okay.
Go ahead.
I lost my train of thought. So
okay.
If it comes back to me,
yeah,
I'll shoot.
He was playing special teams, and then when Frederick Plessis, their draft from the last year's draft, signed, he got beat out on the special teams, and he's been on active the rest of the year since then.
Let's talk about some of the names. Anybody got any ideas so far today? We can continue this train of thought. What are some of the names that the fans might be surprised by? You know, the ones that you guys refer to that are, you know, watching a playoff game. Who to look out for? Who has a good possibility of being a factor based on the matchup? Do you guys, anybody Ooh. Jump out at you?
Oh, man.
I got
Rob Bear.
I got one, too.
Go ahead. Okay, one at a time. And I say go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, most fans might not know him, but people who follow the CFL probably do, but it'd have to be Tosh Smith. I think Tosh Smith is
out of my mouth.
Yeah, I just think when you look at Hamilton's secondary, they got a lot of young guys and experienced guys. I think with his speed and his explosiveness, I think he's going to have a huge game.
The criminal.
And okay, I know that Chris, that's going to piss off Chris because that was one of the guys that was arrested for that bar fight. So that's one of the guys on the list of that Chris hates.
Christopher, who do you think? Oh, sorry, Mike. Go ahead, Mike. If you got, go ahead. And then Christopher, please.
I agree with Manasse, man, because I was going to say Todd Smith, too. Todd Smith's been lighting it up all year. And actually, he's like one of my favorite receivers in the league. You know, him and Darren Durant get together. If Darren Durant can throw that ball and connect with Todd Smith, it's going to be a long day for Hamilton and in defensive backs.
Go ahead. Somebody wanted to go in after Mike. No?
Oh, I was saying Rob Begg there. Between Rob Begg and Taj Smith, they're both clutch players that can make some big plays in the end zone. I know Taj Smith and Grant have really good chemistry, so we'll see what happens Sunday.
Go ahead, Bruce.
I think Greg Ellingson is going to have a big game, and I think Luke Tasker is going to have a big game.
I think Tasker is going to get the winning touchdown if he becomes a factor. Yeah, keep laughing.
Listen to all these guys laugh. You guys are all going to need Kleenex, I'm telling you, Monday when we talk.
We'll see if you can call in the show on Monday, Bruce.
I'll call in,
your team is going to get demolished.
It matters.
Anders will be too busy chatting.
You know what?
Okay.
Whatever
okay.
happens Sunday, I am so proud of this team from where we came from last year to this year. I still say we're going to win, but
if Hamilton wins, we had an awesome year. If Hamilton wins, the point I was trying to make, if Hamilton wins, it'll be a player. I'm talking about a player who's a surprise. I think Tasker, especially out in the cold, I think he's going to be a factor if Hamilton wins. I agree with you guys. It's obvious Taj Smith is going to be one of the greatest receivers, at least of this century, if you will. And by that, I mean the last 13 years, 14 years. Mike, was that you coming back in the room?
Yeah, that's me. I hung up when I got to laughing.
You hung up when you got to laughing. Now, you know, there's too many of you. Otherwise, this would be a good factor. You know, but there's too many of you.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
We'll call you the Seven Stooges. We'll be the Seven Stooges. Now, it's easy to pick a guy that you think will surprise. I was trying to say, like, Taj Smith to me is an easy pick because, you know, he's a guy who's destined for greatness just based on his ability and the way the ball finds his hands, even after it hits a few other before his. Who would be a surprise that won't come to play like Ray didn't in the second half? Can you foresee somebody having a real hard time in that game? I'll start with you, Mike. Do you see anybody?
I really don't know, man. I really think everybody gonna show up to play. I really think it's, you know, everybody gonna put it all out in the line. They're gonna go out there and play hard out. I think it's gonna be a good game. I think it's not gonna be nobody's not gonna come out to play. They're not going to be so surprised. Everybody just going to do their job.
Anybody else want? You agree, Andrew?
No, I'm thinking Smile and Hank Burst is going to have a tough game with the Rough Rider players and fans in his ear the entire time. Either he's going to have a hell of a game, or it's going to get in his ear,
or not.
Yeah, for the fans that might not know about the history there, Henry Burris used to play for the Riders in the early 2000s, and when he decided to leave in free agency in Calgary, people in Saskatchewan never forgot about it, and he's going to be the number one target by the fans all game long. And it's either going to do one of two things. Either he's going to rise above it and it's going to motivate him, or the pressure is going to get to him and he's going to fold up. So I don't know, man. He's the most likely guy to break.
I think
he's gonna silence that crowd, man. He's gonna silence that crowd. Put him to sleep.
He is the most wild card in this game, in this matchup. Henry is the largest variable.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Has he ever risen above the fans, though, when playing against Saskatchewan in the past? So I don't think I've ever seen him rise above all the Henry chants.
Yeah, he's always had his worst games at Saskatchewan. It never fails, every time.
And when he left to go to Calgary and he played Saskatchewan them years, he had a lot to prove. He wanted to go back and beat them. This year, Hamilton don't got a lot to prove. They don't even got a lot of pressure on their back to go in here and try to prove something. That's why I say Burr's going to come in there, carve him up like a Thanksgiving turkey, walk out with the Grey Cup, fight up the crowd, go home.
I mean, when you look at this year is like a perfect example of that. When he was at home at Guelph against Saskatchewan, he had 395 yards and 4 TDs. That's elite. But then when he went to Saskatchewan, the very next week, he only had 158 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception, and only completed 40% of his passes. So that's just a clear indication how much the crowd really gets in his head to me. Against the same team to have that drastic of a different of a performance, come on.
Do you guys think that this victory against Toronto might have helped his confidence that he can play better, or do you really think that was just it meant nothing that he beat Toronto?
Absolutely, especially in the running game.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Second half, Toronto.
Bruce, finish
your
thought.
I think it did, man, because I never saw him run the ball so much as he did last Sunday. So I think his running game's coming back. He's got a little bit more confidence in his legs running north to south. And if he doesn't see an open man, just go. And like you
said,
this is going to be the last game, man. Everything's down the line now. There is no other game after Sunday. So.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you guys, man. I think that this would be a big game for Henry just because he's on his way out. Calvillo has one. Ricky Ray has one. I don't think Henry has one, do he?
Yeah, he won it in 2008.
He won it in 2008.
Oh, that's right, with Calgary.
Yeah.
With Calgary.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, with Calgary.
Okay.
And then the next year they got rid of him after that.
Wow. Wow. So, I think he has a lot to prove, man. I think this would be a big game for him. Once you're in the Grey Cup, man, and you're on your way out, I think he's going to have a different mindset, you know.
A lot of motivation.
A lot of motivation.
You know? Anyone else?
Let's not forget, though, what happened the last week against Toronto. That was just because Toronto's defense is terrible. I mean, we gotta remember that. Plus, it was indoors. Plus, there wasn't even a home field advantage. So, this game against Saskatchewan was the total opposite. He's going up against an elite defense in the cold, in the elements, with a ton of crowd noise going against him. It's like the complete opposite spectrum of what he dealt with last Sunday. So I don't think we can read too much into what happened against Toronto.
Same for Durant. He's going to go up against a tough defense, too.
Hamilton's got a tough defense? Really? Come on, man.
I don't agree with that, Bruce. No.
No, they
don't have any elite
defense. Talking about.
So, again, it always comes back to the fact that Hamilton is a giant-sized, you know, underdog. The thing that I got to say, and I hope Burris overcomes it, when he runs against Toronto, the defenders aren't as big as the guys that he'll be up against on Sunday. So, you know, running against Toronto was one thing. Running against Saskatchewan is going to be a... He's going to be running into a lot more beef, and some of it actually even more mobile than the Toronto defense. In fact, if it wasn't for Mabin, the defense that the Argos put forward would have really looked bad both halves, not just the second half. Mabin was a pretty good factor, and I think they eliminated him at halftime. He was a great surprise for me anyway. So now that brings up my next question. As we wind down on the show and we're down to the last half hour, what do you guys see? I'll start with you, BJ. You're a former quarterback. You're a former player. Adjustments. Which team and why is more capable of adjusting to the other, do you think? Is more prepared either by coaching or the players themselves, the will to adjust? How do you see that playing out?
I think it would be more so of Hamilton because they have the veteran coach. He's been there. You have the veteran quarterback. You know, he's been in this league. He's used to it. He's won a Grey Cup. So, you know, I have to get an edge to Hamilton 100%.
Manasseh?
I got to go Saskatchewan.
And why? The coaching, the players? Because, you know, it isn't always just about one or the other, right?
I mean, I think when we look at coaches, like Ken Austin's probably a better head coach, but the Riders, I think they got a better staff. You know, George Cortez and having Kari Jones as the quarterback's coach, I just think they have a better staff as a whole compared to Hamilton.
Okay. And go ahead, Mike.
I'm going with Hamilton. Like BJ said, they got a quarterback that been there. You got a head coach that been there. And if they have to make any adjustments, like if Henry can't get the ball downfield, you got to make an adjustment and get the ball to the running back and let him try to create. If you can't get the running game going, you're going to have to get the ball to your big play receivers. You're going to have to adjust somewhere, and I think Hamilton can adjust better than Saskatchewan.
But think about that. Like every point that you brought up for Hamilton, the Riders are better at that. Like you talk about a quarterback that's been in the Grey Cup. Burris hasn't been in the Grey Cup since 2008. Durant was in back-to-back Grey Cups in 2009 and 2010. You talk about using a running back out of the backfield as a receiver. We all know Corey Sheets is a much bigger threat than C.J. Gable. So at the end of the day, every point that you brought up for Hamilton to win, Saskatchewan has a guy that's better and they're more effective at doing it.
But you know what, though? The thing, and you're right about that, but also if Hamilton's defensive line get the pushing or the offensive line. Now, we all know that Saskatchewan offensive line can crumble at times, and Durant will get sacked.
That's another great point you brought up. You bring up defensive line. Look how much better Saskatchewan's defensive line is. It's like they are probably the best in the league. And Hamilton's offensive line is small and soft, and they're soft like toilet paper. So I'm telling you, man, the Riders' defensive line is going to destroy Hamilton. That's the biggest advantage the Riders have is the matchup in the trenches. Their offensive line is better than yours.
Hang on a second, Leonce. The question at hand is who is going to be able to make the most adjustments or be able to make adjustments. I'm going to agree with the Bolton for the simple fact I don't think the Riders are going to have to make any adjustments.
Exactly.
They're going to come out there and play their game, and Hamilton is going to have to adjust to them. They're going to have to adjust to the noise. They're going to have to adjust to the cold. They're going to have to adjust to everything. Hamilton has got the contract against them. If they can come out and play this game and make those adjustments that need to be done, then they can play the game. But Riders, they're just going to come out and play their game. There's no adjustments to them. They're not going to do anything else. They're just going to come out and play their game the way they would have done last week, 6 weeks ago, 18 weeks ago. They're going to come out and play their game because they got – what else are they going to do? Hamilton has to modify. That's my opinion. They're going to be better at it, but they're going to have to do it.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm agreeing with Chris on this one. I think Hamilton does have a better coach. George Cortez, amazing. If his plays are working, everything he's calling is working, everything goes great in Saskatchewan. But as soon as we need to make an adjustment and we have the pressure on us, we've crumbled in the past. Saskatchewan with pressure in a Grey Cup game hasn't done well in the past. So if we can come in, play our game right off the bat, get a great start, we'll do fine as long as you don't need an adjustment.
See, I agree with that. What you stole the words from me. I happen to believe that George Cortez is mentally I'm not going to say midget, but I'm going to say that like what happened to him in Hamilton, it happened this year. He lost control of his offense there for a few weeks, and it cost Saskatchewan a few games there. And I believe it was because Cortez, I'll use this word, panic. If Cortez panics, and if the offense that Saskatchewan has, then you know what? I'm going to modify what you guys said. I'm going to agree with everybody with what most of you guys said. Hamilton's going to be the one that has to adjust. And to be successful, they're going to have to adjust appropriately. If Saskatchewan doesn't need to adjust, if they're forced to adjust, they may not be able to. They may not have it in them, especially on offense.
And on that point that you brought up, Frank, the reason their offense struggled, because there was that point they did, is because their whole right side of their offensive line was out. and they had all these backups in. If you notice, Chris Best came in the week before the playoffs. Since then, their offenses look fantastic all throughout the playoff run, because at the end of the day, even B.J. Hall can testify to this. All quarterbacks and running backs are only as good as their offensive line in front of them. And when your offensive line can play at a high level, they can make even bad skill players look good just because they'll have the time to do what they need to do. So that's the reason at the end of the day the Riders are still going to dominate no matter what. Sorry, Bruce, your team is going to get smoked.
I'm just saying, have your clinics ready for Monday? You know, you talk about all your injured players, whatever. We had the most injured players in the CFL, in the CFL history, man. We went through like 97 guys on the roster.
Your team has never dealt with anything like this. What they went through in the playoffs was a cakewalk compared to what the Riders dealt with. I mean, if you could play Montreal in front of 13,000 people and then play Toronto, what's supposed to be a road game, and it's like 60% of your own fans indoors, please. When Saskatchewan has to go up against the BC Lions champs from 2 years ago and then play Calgary on the road, who's 14-4, had the best running back, best defense in the league, and get through that, come on, man. It's child's play. What's going to happen? It's not even going to be competitive. I guarantee you by halftime, Riders are going to be up by 21. They're going to coast, and they're going to win by at least 2 touchdowns, period. Drop the mic.
I'm glad you're confident, man, because so am I.
That brings us to a factor in the game. This is just a question, not an assumption. For some in this room, it'll be an assumption. But for me right now, it's just a question. Will, and are you ready for this, guys? Brace yourselves. Will the officiating be a factor? Mike?
Nope.
Manasse, you want to start with that one?
It's only going to be like the referees, I think, for their own like livelihood, they're not going to make any big calls against the Riders at the end, because if they somehow cost them the team the game, the fans are going to probably try to kill them before they get out of town. I mean, honestly, if the Riders lose, there will be the biggest riot.
Intimidate, so that what you're saying then is Saskatchewan, another advantage Saskatchewan has is that the fans are going to intimidate the officials. Guaranteed,
absolutely. If they do anything, they'll be death threats. They won't even let them get to the airport before something's going to happen to them. That's a guarantee. If the Riders lose, they're going to riot in that city like you've never seen before, because there's nowhere else in the CFL where the football matters like in Saskatchewan. I mean, the whole province is going to be in town, and if the refs do anything, good luck trying to get to their car, honestly.
Chris,
without bringing out the conspiracy or the tinfoil hats, but go ahead, Chris.
No, it's okay. But yeah, you were in there already, Christopher. What do you think?
I'm going to have to agree with Miante. There's no way in hell that the refs are going to make a bad call against Regina. They'd be stupid morons. Is it going to make a difference? Yes. Am I going to say that this game is fixed for the officials helping out the Riders? No. I'm not going to say that. That's too presumptuous. I'm just going to say that they're not going to do anything dumb. They're not going to create a volatile situation. So,
but
is it going to hurt Hamilton? I'm sure it's going to hurt Hamilton.
So,
but you've got
if
the best
officiating. If the officiating takes a turn, you know, takes a right turn, it's not going to be on Hamilton's behest. Is what we're saying? Is that what we're hearing?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
That's what I'm hearing.
And it's a reality, just for their own livelihood.
You know what?
Frank, do you remember the first call that I came in on this show, Beyonce, and I threw up ridiculous comments and statements about the league and the Riders and everything else? Do you realize that I received 4 death threats from Rider fans because of that? Just a little joke. And these were very – so do you think the refs are not going to get it? I'm just babbling off in the mouth. And I actually got death threats from Rider fans.
Only 4.
So
luckily, he didn't miss a kick in Saskatchewan.
He got 4 death threats, and I received a bunch of inboxes in my email for me to tell Chris to shut the hell up or they're going to get him. I'm like, I mean, it's a joke. It's a bad joke. But it's a joke.
And even worse than the death threats, a few people even unfriended him on Facebook.
I know. Believe it. Can you believe it? They unfriended.
Husky wee wee, husky wah wah.
Husky wah wah.
Yeah, exactly. So these refs are gonna pull the line as close they can, and it will side to the riders. It has no choice.
If they make a mistake, they'll make a mistake that doesn't work in Hamilton's favor. Now here's what I'm gonna say. We're gonna see the best officiating we've seen in years. At least this year. And that's not saying much, but having said that, it'll be the best officiating we've seen in a while, and it'll only be because people's lives are at stake.
Plus, it'll also be because the game will be such a blowout that it won't really matter at the end. That's what it's going to come down to. The only way the refs factor in is if it's a tight game at the end and they make a pivotal call, that's it. But let's be honest. Who thinks this game is going to be close late in the fourth quarter?
You know, you're turning what should be an exciting game into a total bore because now what it's from your perspective. If listening to you, if I didn't know nothing about the CFL or whatever,
I wouldn't even watch the game.
Number one, that's number one. You're right about that. You're right about that, Bruce. But number one, you wouldn't watch the game. Number two, no matter what happens, Saskatchewan's going to lose in my mind. Because if they don't clean Hamilton's clock, on Monday, Bruce isn't going to have a problem because all Bruce has to do is his team just has to be close. You feel me, Bruce? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, we're going to win. We're not going to be. It's going to be close, but it's going to be Ticats coming home to the Hammer with the cup.
And you know, that's really nice, Bruce. We really appreciate your fandom, but, you know, I'm sorry.
And Tasker's getting the winning touchdown.
Yeah, that's just cute, really.
Hey, Frank.
If this game is respectable, then the Riders lost even though they won.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying, Meontay?
That's what I'm saying.
Whoever's pushing the cup at the end is all. I mean, you talk about blowouts. What happened last year? Blowout. The year before, BC and Winnipeg.
I don't know.
It wasn't competitive at all.
Call. I don't think that was a blowout. Does everybody think that last year's Grey Cup was a blowout?
Yep.
Yeah, was Calgary laid down? Yeah.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna tell you something. I had my very first Grey Cup party last year, and I had a lot of friends over, man, and a lot of family over, and they were like, "I thought you said this was gonna be a game." I'm like, "Yeah, it was supposed to," and you know they watched it, but they weren't really too impressed with the Grey Cup last year because Calgary just went to sleep. I mean.
And what about the year before that with BC and Winnipeg? That was one of the worst football games I've ever seen. Winnipeg was the most completely uncompetitive, man.
Yep.
It's Winnipeg. What else do you expect earlier?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You can't call that one fixed. It was Winnipeg.
Well, it was fixed. They put him in. We've got a few minutes left, and this is going to be a question probably you didn't expect. What do you guys think of the halftime show? Will it outdo last year's? Justin Bieber was a total failure.
Well, you know what?
Anything's better
you.
Than Bieber.
Can anyone even name who's the halftime act this year? That tells you right there.
I was just going to say, who
Headley.
Is it?
Right.
Headley.
Oh, yeah, it's Headley. Headley. Yeah,
it's just a young Canadian band. They're going for the young viewers. They're not looking out for like the Tragically Hip or the Rush band for the older viewers. They're looking for the young kids, going to get the 18, 19-year-old kids involved in the game. And the women.
But you know what? To last year's Grey Cup halftime show, actually, Justin Bieber wasn't all that bad. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I didn't want to enjoy it, but I did.
Right,
And he's like 45 minutes away from Hamilton.
Right, and it wasn't a bad halftime show. It wasn't a bad halftime show. It really wasn't.
No, I enjoyed it too.
This year will be better.
Show's a good thing to get out of your seats and get a beer.
This year will be better. I like Headley, and I'm not 18 or 19. And they're not an unknown band.
I thought they probably would have had the Imagine Dragons be a halftime show, but they didn't.
Maybe a tractor pull would make it interesting in Saskatchewan.
Wow! Yeah, that halftime show is going to be really something. It's going to be cold, so you know, I hope the halftime show will be okay.
then he's
we could do a track.
I'm say beach volleyball would be fun, but you know, it's a little cold.
Dragon behind.
Well, there's going to be some of that, don't you think, Andrew? There's going to be some of that.
Yeah.
Hey, Frank.
Going hard.
Yeah, Mike.
Hey, Frank, can I say something? Can I say something for a minute? Hey, Chris, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Hey, BJ, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, check out. I want now. Me and Chris go through this every year when me and Chris always talk indoor football, arena football. Will you explain to Chris that just because a quarterback plays in the indoor game, that do not have a weak arm?
No,
I never said they did, Mike.
No,
I never said they did.
A lot of them. What I found out, and this is just based off experience, a lot of the ones that are elite, they cannot throw the big ball, and that's why a lot of them are stuck in the arena. But you do get some guys that are in there that have strong, like Adrian McPherson. He has a strong arm, and I'll tell you, just based off, you know, guys that I know that play with him, says he throws a bullet. He throws a hitch, and they feel like it's going to, you know, ricochet off their pad. But, I mean, it's guys, I mean, I'm telling you now, it's guys in that league that can really throw that ball, though. Definitely. I came across a few. I mean, Chris Dixon, he can throw the ball a little bit.
Uh-huh. Don't you think that's an unfair question? Because essentially, because of the close proximity of the defense and that you don't have that far to run, I think that's a pretty – you would think that while we're talking really – I think the definition of the kind of quarterback you don't need in arena football is a guy that can throw the ball 60 yards.
Right. And
you know,
can't adjust to that. You can't adjust to, you know, the short game, the touch ball, and then it becomes a part of your game. And not to say when they first came in, they couldn't throw, you know, 60-yard, 70-yard bombs. But once you adjust to it for so long, it becomes a part of your game as a quarterback.
But the point is you do have to have a quick arm. Well, let's stay on
quick release, for sure.
Right? I mean, you've got to have the quick release. You know, and in the NFL, some quarterbacks really make hay with that. You know, they have great reputations for with San Francisco. He doesn't even cock his arm, for goodness sake. You know?
Kaepernick?
Yeah, Kaepernick.
Well, you know, Kaepernick is a baseball guy.
And he throws it like it's a baseball.
He throws it just like it's a baseball. I don't think it's ever been fixed.
So BJ, in the arena of football, you need to be more of an accurate thrower?
More of an accurate thrower.
So do you think for a quarterback, if he were there, it would help him develop his accuracy?
I would 100%. That's why I thought it would be a good place for Tim Tebow to go and develop accuracy and precision. I don't know why he didn't take that opportunity. I just, you know, on a mental aspect of it, that's what I would have did. If they said that they felt like I wasn't accurate, but I also threw for, you know, 10,000 yards in high school, so I know I can throw, but maybe I need to go somewhere and develop and maybe sit behind a year from a guy of, you know, Aaron Garcia or a big name and learn how to be pinpoint, because those guys are pinpoint. I tell you, pinpoint.
So you think if Adrian McPherson were to come back up to the CFL next year, you think he'd be that much better of a quarterback?
Oh, 100%.
All right.
He's going to be a rock star 100%. When he comes back.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's got the legs and he's got the big arm. It's just the question is if he was an accurate thrower. So
well,
he gets that up,
and
I think he's ready to go.
From what I've seen, before he had his injury, he was going to be the MVP of that league in the AFL. And a lot of his passes were accurate, and some of the passes that he threw in that league, some of the other quarterbacks couldn't do. You don't see the back shoulder in arena football, and he implemented some of that in that game. You know, a couple games I went and saw him play.
Who's got a better arm, you think, going into Sunday? Durant or Burris?
It's Burris.
It's Burris. Easy.
It's Burris. Now, I've got
even
I'm with BJ a question. Hey, BJ, what? I want to ask you another question, man, as far as arena football go. We know that
Mike, stop for a second.
Okay.
Frank, I think we can do an entire show on arena football in the off season. We can bring BJ in. We can talk about all sorts of things. We got 4 days before the Grey Cup. Let's stay focused.
Agreed.
Yeah, we didn't.
Well,
okay,
the problem tonight was we have a two-hour show, and John usually talks for about an hour, so we got this extra time now at the end of the show. So
That's the reason why I bring up the question.
We miss him, but go.
We're
gonna, it's okay.
We're gonna run out of. We're gonna run out of this in 4 days.
Well, I'm a guest. I'm just here. I'm just here, you know, to have fun, listen to you guys, man. Whatever questions you got.
No, it's all cool. Yeah, no, it's all cool. Well, put it this way. Put it this way. There's nothing wrong with talking about other aspects. Christopher, since you seem to think that we haven't touched everything, what can we touch tonight that we can talk about on Friday? And, you know, what can we talk about on Friday? We've got one more show before the game. What did we miss tonight that you'd like the guys to talk about? Be my guest.
Cheerleaders. I think
you're right. We didn't hit on the cheerleaders.
Can I be first? One thing that is kind of
Can I be first?
Okay.
My favorite cheerleaders are the Calgary Stampeders. They have the best
uniforms.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
In my opinion.
I agree, Frank. I agree.
And then Montreal.
Hamilton has the best.
Calgary got it. They own it.
Were you guys in Winnipeg in 2006?
All the girls are pretty. Guys, all the
in
my opinion,
they're all
pretty.
I kind of avoid
Winnipeg at all costs.
These are pretty good.
The Hamilton girls stripped their clothes off. That was pretty sweet.
I missed that. Kid.
No comment. I live near Hamilton.
None.
But the point I was trying to make was, the prettiest girls, I guess, you know, Quebec is well known for having pretty women. I find the BC girls are very pretty. Like they're really nice looking. Our Argo cheerleaders are awesome.
They're very young.
Is that what it is with BC?
BC cheerleaders are too young, in my opinion.
They're too young.
Okay.
Coming from a 60-year-old, 40.
They're little girls. They're little girls.
They all are.
Yeah, that's.
That's pretty much what a cheerleader is.
I'm cognizant.
So, Chris, which are your favorite cheerleaders? And for what
Calgary.
Reason? Yeah, I like
Dallas Cowgirls. Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders of the CFL. They rock.
Their uniforms are awesome. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
I had a hard time watching the game because I love the get-ups that they wear. They do make you go giddy up.
I guess we can say this is the one place Hamilton has an advantage, right, with the cheerleaders. So if it came down to that, they'd win the cup off that.
Up, so.
The Riders have a lot of big girls in their cheerleaders. I don't know if you noticed that. They got a lot of those
six-footers?
Country Fred, farm girl-looking type women, you know. It's like
With all their teeth.
Are you calling Saskatchewan girls fat? Is that where we're
going? I'm just saying their cheerleaders look pretty big. I mean, compared to the rest of the league,
but
they
you
usually
say
have
big,
a couple.
Of tall. You mean tall, right?
Are you saying they're
talking
most people's
good
lines?
Farm girls.
No, I'm talking about they're kind of a little bit kind of chunky. You know, not. You look around the rest of the league, like most of the cheerleaders are like fit and toned. You know, like, but the Saskatchewan girls, man, they clearly don't hold up at the space.
They could play O-line for Hamilton on Sunday.
Why am I not surprised this turned into a real disaster?
No kid. Anyways, I got to go, Frank. Hopefully talk to you Friday. Thanks, everybody, for listening to what I had. And, hey, BJ, I just got one question for you.
What's up, buddy?
You still talk to Rodriguez? Appreciate?
Oh, every day.
You know what? You tell him, man, that Bruce Through Teeth, man, he knows me from the practices, that we still miss him up here in the Hammer. You know, there's a lot of us that follow him in the arena football down there.
Hey, I tell you what, man, he would love a chance to have a chance to go back up there and play again. I tell you that.
Well, you know what? You tell him I hope he gets his chance, and we love him up here, man. I'll tell you that much.
Will do.
What are y'all talking about, McPherson?
No,
appreciate
Rodriguez. The receiver.
Yeah, I appreciate Rodriguez. Oh, yeah, man.
One of the nicest guys, too, off the field, man. Always took time out for the fans after practice to shoot the shit with. And, you know, he was just a really upstanding guy. And he was a hell of a player, man. I don't know why.
Riders 37, Tyke has 10.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
Bruce, before
okay,
you go.
Guys, take care.
Bruce,
have a good week.
Bruce,
we'll talk to you. Yes, yes.
Bruce, before you go, because you said you're not sure you'll be on, the score of the game on Sunday.
I'm sticking to what I said on Monday, 31-27, Hamilton.
We all can believe in miracles sometimes. You
that's
know?
Right, brother. Just make sure you got that Kleenex box on Monday when we talk.
Yeah, I'll make sure to send it to you.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you hopefully Friday. If not, we'll see you, hear from you on Monday.
And yeah, we'll hear from you Monday and make sure that we – where are you watching the game anyway, Bruce?
We're going down to one of the 13 family members' house here and watching it. We're all getting together as a 13th family and watching the game. So it should be a hell of a game.
I didn't see my invite in the mail.
Oh, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, man. It's not my house, though. So, well, I'm invited, you're invited. How's that? If you want to come with me, I don't see a problem. Not a problem,
I don't mind being your date.
No, not a problem. You've got to wear a black and gold jersey, though.
Do I have to wear a cheerleader's uniform, or can I wear
normal clothes? No, black and gold jersey. I got 22 of them down in my man cave, so you can borrow one.
Oh, okay, good. Then I can borrow one. There you go.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll talk about that further. I'm half kidding and half serious, to be honest
with you. I know you are, brother.
Half kidding
and
half serious.
When you're talking to John, tell John I said hi, okay?
I will do that. Thanks, Bruce.
All right, man, Frank. It's been a pleasure. Have a good night, guys.
Yep, you too.
Bill.
Take care, Bruce. Cheers.
Okay, BJ. Tell who do you think's going to win, and do you have a score you can offer us?
I'm going to go with Smiling Hank, man. I'm going to go with 28-21.
Hamilton.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Here, let me switch it around. Manasse.
Yeah, it's going to be 35-21, and if they score more than 21 points, it's going to be an absolute miracle.
Special teams, man. Banks. He takes one to the house.
Everybody's sleeping on Jock Sanders, the returner for Saskatchewan. I think he's going to have a big game, too.
Hey, I don't sleep on Jock. You know where Jock's from?
Yeah, West Virginia.
No, Jock's from St. Pete, Florida, where I'm from. I don't doubt Jock at all. Jock is a gamer.
There you
go. Third. I'm going 36-33, Hamilton.
That's a safety, right?
Yeah,
you know, so far we're 3-1. We're 3-1 Hamilton for the underdog.
Okay.
They're not doing bad.
Can I speak up here?
Got some guys.
Yeah, go ahead, Christopher.
Okay. Most people will agree that I'm a bit of an ass, but I'm not stupid. I'm going with the Riders. I want Hamilton to win, but the Riders are going to take this one, and it's going to be around the 35-26-27 range.
Okay.
And you know what, Chris? You probably just made some more Rider friends now, because you know they're probably listening like, what, Chris? Riders? What?
Oh, I have no doubt that the Riders are going to win. I don't have a question in my mind there. Doesn't mean I want them to, or I like it, or I'm happy about it. I think it's bullshit, but that's beside the point. I just think they're going to win.
Andrew, you get to make it a soft.
I think we all know where I'm going with this. 37-13, Saskatchewan.
Wow.
Dropping the hammer.
Blowout game.
Wow. Oh, ouch. Yes,
okay.
Sir. That's a big ouch.
I guess it's my turn, and I want to get invited to the Hamilton party, so I'm going to have to be careful what I say here. So I'm going to say 31-28, Hamilton.
Oh, that's just because you're from Ontario, that's why.
Yeah, it's true. And I want to get invited to a party.
Do you honestly think they're going to win? Or you just want them to win?
Christopher, I'm in the same boat as you. I want Hamilton to win, but you know what? If this score isn't what happens, if Hamilton doesn't win by three, I'm inclined to agree with you guys that are saying that it'll be two touchdowns. If it gets away from Hamilton, it's going to get away bad. It's going to get
away
bad.
So if you had to put money down, Frank, who would you pick?
Ooh.
Well, I would pick Hamilton. If Saskatchewan's such a runaway favorite, I might take Hamilton just for the spread. What do you guys think?
Okay, just take the spread out, just picking teams. Money on the line, who are you picking?
Straight up? Well, you'd have to bet for Saskatchewan. You'd have to bet for Saskatchewan straight up because they're the odds-on favorite, right?
That's what the game is about. It's got nothing to do with the odds. It's what the game is. It doesn't matter if Saskatchewan wins by 1 point or 40 points. They don't have to be.
Most of us agree on paper. Saskatchewan has a better advantage at every position.
There you go.
Nine positions, Scrum's got a better player.
Okay, we're out of time, guys.
If I was putting money on it, it'd be Saskatchewan.
Okay, we're out of time, guys. BJ, I'm on Facebook. You can get some help from Mike. I'd be more than glad to friend you if you're on that. With us were Bruce, BJ, Manasseh, Mike, Christopher, and Andrew. Thank you for tuning in, guys. You've been listening to Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you again next time.
Take care.
All right, y'all. See y'all later.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, man.
All right, BJ.
All right, Mike.
Thanks, guys.